Hello, folks, and we are about to go live. We're going to live stream to you our worship time together. It's going to be special and powerful. So hit your share button, get all your friends together as we minister to you, as we give glory to God, and as we see what He has to say about what we're going through. Hello, folks, and we are about to go live. We're going to live stream to you our worship time together. It's going to be special and powerful. So hit your share button, get all your friends together as we minister to you, as we give glory to God, and as we see what He has to say about what we're going through.
Good morning, church. We are so glad to be able to worship with you. And we want to hear you sing wherever you are. We want you to sing with us. We're not here to worship for you. We're here to worship with you, all right? Lift up your voice with all that you have. God, we give you praise today. In spite of our circumstance, we want to say thank you. Thank you for breath. Thank you for life. And in this moment, we ask that you would meet us here. We give you all the glory and all the honor. If you love Him, come on, let me hear you say, your love is eroded like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that's been tested, and like a covenant of old. And your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been.
Ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Oh, forever your praise will be on my lips. Second verse. You father the orphan, sing. You father the orphan, and your kindness makes us whole. And you shoulder our weakness, and your strength becomes our own. Now you're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes. For you will have your bride free from all her guilt and rid of all her shame, and known by her true name. And that's why I sing.
Forever be on our lips. In spite of our circumstances, I mentioned earlier, we will give you praise because you love us. You are faithful. You are a faithful God. We celebrate your love this morning. And how you continuously work scenarios together for our good. We are grateful. We are grateful, Lord God.
Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You've been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You've been so, so kind to me. Don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Sing with us. When I was your foe, come on, sing.
when I was your foe. Still your love, it fought for me.
You've been so good to me. Come on, sing it out.
You've been so, so good to me. So good. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me.
You've been so kind.
You've been so, so
kind. If he's been kind to you, let me hear you say,
shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
One more time, sing that.
It is well, it is well.
when my faith it shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trust and the Lord, he will descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
Y'all sing that chorus.
It is well.
It is well.
Sing it out.
With my soul.
With my soul.
Say.
It is well.
It is well with my soul.
We are thankful that it is well with our souls, Lord God. We thank you for meeting us here in worship. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I'm so moved by the fact that it is well. So moved by the fact that it is well with our soul. That our circumstances are often not well. That so much has gone on and there's so much disruption. There is so much that is unsure and is shaking all around us, but this we can know that it is well with our soul. And it brings tears to my eyes every time I think of the beauty and the simplicity of that hymn. It is well with your soul. Hear that again. It is well with your soul. And on this Sunday morning, if you do not know that it is well with your soul, we cannot wait to introduce you to somebody who will help you to be steady and steadfast and hope-filled even when things around you are hopeless. I'm so grateful that it is well with my soul. And this morning, one of the ways that we get to commune together at this online church that technology has given us access to, and the Holy Spirit, I'm so glad the Holy Spirit is not bound by a building. So he is with you. He is here with us. So we all have the privilege to be together to get today in worship as we celebrate the fact that he has anchored us in our souls and that we can be well and steadfast and immovable and always abounding in the grace and in the love of our great God. One of the ways we can do that is in prayer together, one with each other. And we want to pray together. We're going to pray, actually, the four of us together over some categories of prayer that we want you to join in with us in regards to. So if you're alone by yourself worshiping with us this morning, then listen, you actually really aren't alone because the entire family of God is worshiping with you. So if you're in that dynamic, or it's you and a spouse, or you and a roommate, two of you are together, or maybe there are 8 or 9 or 10 of you that are together. I think the limit is 10 now. I'm not sure what the limit is, but if there are 10 of you together, maybe you and your children, and you're all together, for just about 60 seconds or so before we go into just this little season of prayer for just a few moments during our service together, would you just take 60 seconds to thank God that it is well with your soul? Will you thank him that despite the stuff, we can get to requests in just a moment, but can you just start with outrageous, overwhelming gratitude? Grab your spouse's hand, or grab the hand of your child, or put your hands over your own heart with your hands uplifted to heaven and just thank him for a second. that he has anchored you solidly in your soul and that you can be hope-filled even in hopeless times. Come on, y'all, let's just pray together. We praise you, Lord, for victory in Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you died on the cross for our sins. I thank you that my eternal destination is secure. I thank you that death has lost its sting. So, Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you for the victory that is ours in Jesus' name. I thank you for your sacrifice so many years ago that still gives us victory to this day. I thank you that for those of us who have placed faith in Jesus Christ, that you have secured our eternal destiny, that no matter what happens here, we know this is not our home, and that every sickness, every disease, every need, every issue bows the knee to the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you that it is in the power and the authority of that great name that we can come together as a global body of Christ, Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship locally, but then all of those who are gathering with us across the world, I thank you, Father, that we can gather together underneath the umbrella of that great name, and that together as your church, capital C, as your church, we can call out to you together. You say that we're two or three or many more are gathered in your name, that you'll be in our midst. So, Father, I pray that for the next few moments, as we make our requests known to you, as we seek you in prayer, Lord, that you will do what your word says, that you will hear from heaven, and that you will heal the whole land. We believe you, and we trust you, and we stand on your promises. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen. There are a few categories of prayer that we want to cover with you, and I'm just going to say out these categories to you, and we actually want you with your family again or in your dynamic individually to just say 60 seconds worth of prayer in regards of to that particular category, that group of people. You know, it can be real interesting for us to be in our own little bubbles of comfort, whatever they might be. Maybe you are, you haven't lost your job as a result of what's happened, or you're healthy right now and you have the luxury of not worrying about that particular issue, whatever it may be. So it can be real easy for us to be in our little bubble of privilege and forget about another group of people that actually doesn't have that same privilege. So why don't we think about some groups of people that actually need us to be extending our hearts and our hands in prayer. And you know what? I'm going to implore my siblings at the end of each of these categories. Jonathan will go first to just get on his knees right there in the middle of this pulpit and just cover that category in prayer together as we close each segment. So we wrote down some categories of prayer, and the very first one we want to pray for together as the body of Christ are small business owners. There are so many small business owners that are crippled financially underneath the pressure of all that has happened. So for 60 seconds now, would you maybe think about a small business in your area, or one that you that has provided goods to you before, or maybe you are a small business owner? Let's just pray for just a moment that God would cover, that he would keep, that he would provide in Jesus' name. And after about 60 seconds, Jonathan will close that segment in prayer. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, right now we lift up all of those small business owners, Lord. Lord, we lift them up to you because right now they're confused. They're at a time where they thought that there was a destiny or a promised land based on the business that you have given them, but now they're finding themselves in the wilderness. Lord, we pray, Lord, that even in that wilderness, that they will remember that you are the provider and that you are the source. That small business is not the source. It is simply the resource that you use, Lord, in order to provide, Lord. So we pray, Lord, that you provide. We pray, Lord, that you make a way out of no way. We pray, Lord, that you open the Red Sea when it seems like it's blocked and there's no way around it. We pray, Lord, that they will see your covering, Lord. They will see the mighty right hand of God, even in this situation where it looks like they are cornered on all sides, Lord. We pray for that special provision, Lord. We pray, Lord, for something that surprises them, Lord, where they know that it could not be anyone else other than the mighty right hand of God, that they can't take the credit because there are no relationships, there is no money. It's not about the employees. It's not about the great idea. It's about the great I am. So we give you the glory, Lord, because we know that you can and we know that you will. We are humbling ourselves before you. We are turning, Lord, and we are calling on your name. Hear your people. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We want to pray for healthcare workers. So many people, I saw a post recently where there were some healthcare workers who were holding up signs and they were just saying that they don't have the luxury of staying home with their loved ones like so many of us do and feeling like we're protected in the confines of our own home because they're sacrificing their own health to make sure to tend to the care of others. Let's pray for doctors, for nurses, for the people that are in hospitals and doctor's offices that are tending to others. About 60 seconds for you to pray. Maybe you pinpoint your doctor's office or the hospital that's in your neighborhood. Let's pray right now that God would keep and protect those healthcare workers.
I just ask right now that the people you have blessed to professionally and skillfully be able to be a blessing to other people at their point of need, their physical need, to meet those needs, I pray, God, first and foremost, that you would give them a spirit of courage, that those who are feeling fearful, that are feeling anxiety, would you remind them that we are to be anxious for nothing, the Bible says in Philippians, but that we are to bring everything, every care to you. I pray that they would remember that you ultimately are the one, as we exercise and live in wisdom, that you are the one who keeps us safe, that you are the one that allows us to live and move and have our being, that you are the one in whom we can dwell. And I pray that you would allow every healthcare worker, especially those who know you, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, even as they minister as your hands and your feet. Lord, I pray beyond the physical, beyond the things to do, beyond the shots to give, beyond the mask to wear, the gloves to wear, the paperwork to fill out, God, that you would give them a deep understanding of the privilege that they have to be your hands and your feet in this season. And even as you calm their fears, Lord, I just ask, God, that you would allow them to see each and every person as a person that they can minister to, be a minister not only of health, but of the gospel. For those of you, for those that know you, to know that every person who comes through the doors of the ER, that's in a hospital bed, that comes through urgent care, is a soul. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would keep them safe. I pray that you would keep them healthy. Lord, I just pray that you would cover them, cover their families. So many people are concerned not just about themselves, but about their families, those that they have to come back home to. So, Lord, I just pray that you would be a covering, an unbelievable covering, a miraculous covering, and that out of this situation, that not only would they have the testimony of what they were able to do on your behalf, but they would have the testimony of how you kept them healed and whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just two more categories of prayer that we want to pray with
you about as the body of Christ. We want to pray for those who have either lost their jobs completely because maybe that's their business or their company is closed down, or maybe they can get back to their job at some point, but for now that business is closed. And so they were hourly workers maybe, and now that resource that they would usually have coming in, it is not coming in. We want to pray for those whose jobs have a lot of instability right now as a result of what's happening. For just 60 seconds, if there's somebody that you know that is in this predicament, pray for that person. Otherwise, just praying for those that find themselves in this situation. Let's cover them in prayer, and then Anthony will close us in regards to this category. Let's pray.
We know that you have all of our needs in your hands. I pray, Lord God, that you would make it clear to those who are in just a holding pattern, God. I pray that you would make it clear the purpose in this painful moment, the purpose in this kind of the redirection that is happening right now with all of us, God. I pray that you would continue to open our hearts up to what you might be wanting to show us in this moment that feels like a major detour, as we mentioned last week, God. I offer up my worship to you even with the question marks, and I pray, Lord, that you would encourage the hearts of the people who are praying with us, who are going through the variables of this moment. I pray that you would encourage their hearts to continue to worship in spite of this. And remind us of your promise that I say all the time, but we need to be reminded of your promise of you working all things together for good, and we cling to that in this moment. I pray a special blessing again on my friends who are watching, my family, the church family, our extended family who are watching, who need your strategic and divine help in this moment. We are grateful for your presence today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Be encouraged in that. Receive that prayer if that's your predicament. Know that the Lord is for you. He has not forgotten you. And finally, we want to pray for those who are sick, whether it is with the specific virus that is a pandemic right now, or if it's just their immune system is weakened as a result of flu or pneumonia, or maybe there is a chronic pain or disease in their life, something even that is terminal that the doctors have said they can't do anything about. We want to pray for you if you or someone you love is sick. So right now, would you get in your mind's eye a loved one? We all have a loved one, a friend or a family member, and together in your household or around your kitchen table or in your living room, wherever you are, or still in your pajamas, laying in your bed, wherever you might be right now, think of that person who you can call out to God for, and let's pray together that the Lord would give them hope, give them peace, give them his presence. And the book of James says that he can still heal. So let's pray and ask the Lord to bring healing, his healing balm into their life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm so grateful that at the name of Jesus, everything bows, every knee bows. And so I pray right now over every sickness and every disease and every ailment and every illness, Lord. I pray over every imbalance in our systems, Lord, that right now in Jesus' name, everything that is out of alignment will come back into alignment under the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for cancerous cells to be diminished and realigned. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for organs to begin to function to 100% capacity. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for immune systems that have been weakened. Lord, I pray that you would fortify them and strengthen them right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that CT scans would read differently next month than they did this month, Lord. Father, I am asking you in the name of Jesus Christ that you would cover and protect, Lord, from this virus, this pandemic that is sweeping, not just through our country, but the entire world. Lord, I speak to the virus right now in
Jesus' name and remind it that at the name of Jesus, it has lost its sting, it's lost its power. Lord, I thank you that you are indeed a healer. And so we speak healing over every single boy, every single girl, every single teenager, every single father and mother underneath the sound of my voice, every single woman, every single man, every single grandmother, every single grandfather. Lord, would you heal our bodies in the name of Jesus Christ? Lord, I ask that you would do it. I ask that there would be incredible testimonies of miracles, of how you swooped in and did something that the doctors thought would not be done. Lord, would you diminish pain in someone's body, Father? Would you help them to be able to find a sense of balance and equilibrium in that area of their life again, Father? We believe that you can do it. But we say in the next breath, just like the Hebrew boys, that we believe you can. But even if you don't, Lord, we will still bend the knee. We've made our decision. Our allegiance is pledged to you and to you alone. So, Lord, we thank you that we can, that you can, and we believe that you will. Thank you that we can offer this request to you in prayer. Thank you that you hear us, Lord, and we're looking forward to the testimonies of miracles beginning to just ripple in, Father, as you move throughout the land and throughout our homes. Thank you in advance, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Listen, we are excited to be with you again this week, and we want you to take this time to prepare for communion. We're not going to do it now, but we are going to do it before we close our time together. So now's a good time to have somebody go to the kitchen and get some of the good juice and some bread, some crackers, some of those good Ritz, and prepare to share those. And we'll do that together towards the end of our service. We also want to remind those of you who are members of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, just like we do when we're in the building, to welcome those who are not members. And you can do that in the comments as you see people that are obviously not members because they're watching from Australia or they are participating from the East Coast or the West Coast. Jump in, say hello, make them feel like we care because we do. Anthony, you always say that we're a pretty big church that usually feels small because we make sure that every person gets a touch. And so while we can't physically touch you and hug you today, we want to make sure, members, that we are doing what we'd love to do as we can virtually. And then for those of you who are watching right now, share, because there are some people that will not even know that Oak Cliff is having an online service unless you tell them. And so wherever you're watching, on YouTube or Facebook, find that little share button and make sure you share that with those who you want to tune in. We are so very grateful that you are all here with us. We are social distancing, but really we're physical distancing because of social media and everything online. We get to still connect, and this is a great opportunity for us to connect together this morning.
I've seen darkness shattered by light. I've seen joy break after the night. I want to see it again. I've seen tragic and hopeless days turn to stories of amazing grace. I want to see it again. Oh, come, Lord, like a rushing wind. We are desperate for your presence. Revive us by your spirit within. We want to see you again. See. Tears. I see strength rise
to persevere. I want to see it again. I've seen bodies ruined and frail rise in power, completely healed. I want to see it again. Oh, come, Lord, like a rushing wind. We are, we're desperate for your presence. Revive us by your spirit within. We want to see you again. See you again. Oh, come, Lord, like a rushing wind. We are for your, we're desperate for your presence. Revive us by your.
To see him again today. We want to see you again, Lord God. As we open up your word and as we hear from your word, God, we ask that you would meet us here one more time, and we ask that you would speak to our hearts. So right now, open up your word of God. I know you've been like, where is he? Well, he's here, and he has a special message just for you. So open up your word and let's meet with our dad.
Well, hello, folks. I'm coming to you today from the den of my home where we raised our children. You see, over the last week and a half, I've been around a whole bunch of people in a lot of different places. I've even been on an airplane and was feeling a little tired. And given the fact that I am 70 years old, my kids were telling me, Dad, come on, you're in that high-risk age group, so you need to be extra careful. So in an abundance of caution, we decided to just do my ministry to you today from my den, because I want everybody to be safe. I'm just here with one of my family members who has on the camera and has on the mask and the gloves to do this taping, because it's important that, you know, we be vigilant. And in protecting not only ourselves, but the people we love and the people that we are around. So I'm coming to you in a little bit more intimate environment today to minister God's truth to you. Well, needless to say, we're in a major situation here, a major crisis. But this is more than just about a virus. This corona pandemic is also corona politics. It's corona economics and finance. It's corona government. It's corona sociology. It's corona, you know, athletics. It's corona everything, because it has affected the systems of the world. This is much deeper. If you just are only seeing the virus, you don't see all that's taking place right now. And I want to talk to you today about a divine disruption. I want to tell you what's really going on. I shared with you last week, the principle of how the world works. Let me repeat it. Everything visible and physical is preceded by that which is invisible and spiritual. So if you want to address that which is visible and physical, you must identify the cause and the cure to what is invisible and spiritual. Or to put it another way, if all you see is what you see, you do not see all there is to be seen. Something else is afoot here, and it is attached to the spiritual realm. That's why I want to read to you verses 5 and 6 of 2 Chronicles 15. This is what it says. It says, "In those times, there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in. For many disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every kind of distress." Here you have described a world in chaos. Individual lives were without peace. When they went home, there was family conflict. He says city rose up against city. There was community conflict. Then it says nation rose up against nation. There was international despair. And the common denominator through all of them was chaos, no peace. And I think you will agree, everybody's restless right now, afraid, nervous, insecure, no peace. But what ought to catch your attention is the end of verse 6 of 2 Chronicles 15. It says, "For God troubled them with every kind of distress." Wait a minute. God took the blame for what was happening? "For God troubled them." God is saying, "I'm behind your lack of peace and your disturbances." In the Old Testament, when God wanted to address the fact that people had departed from him, there would be judgment. With the death of Jesus Christ in history, God recast his relationship to the world. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, the world was reconciled to God through the death of Jesus Christ. So now God doesn't rain down viruses. He doesn't rain down fire and brimstone. But we can experience what we'll call the passive wrath of God. That's described in Romans chapter 1, verses 24, 26, and 28. It says, "And God turned them over, and God turned them over, and the third time, and God turned them over. Because they would no longer take him seriously, because they had departed from him, he just released them to let them see what life looked like without him." So he just, like a dog on a leash, and lets the leash go. He lets you run your own way from him, and then you run into the consequences of that abandonment. You see, what Romans 1 is describing is what happens when an individual, a family, a church, or a nation departs from him. It creates a vacuum, and we know nature abhors a vacuum, and it will be filled with something. And the something that it is filled with when God is not filling it isn't too pleasant. I'd like to suggest to you the coronavirus is filling a vacuum due to the absenteeism of God. Now, we know God exists everywhere, but I'm talking about the relational absenteeism of God. And he says, "You don't want me. You're going to have life without me, but you created a hole in which, boy, things are entering into it that you really don't want. What we need to understand is that what we are going through today, worldwide and individually, is a divine disruption. He is disrupting the normal, natural, and preferred order of things on every single level. Individual, no peace. They went home, no peace. Cities, no peace. Nations, no peace. This is worldwide because God is sending a worldwide message. What was the problem? There were three problems. There were three causes, if you will, of the chaos that they were going through and that we are going through in this crisis that we face. He says in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 15, there was no true God. And he didn't say there was no belief in God. He said it was false, no true God. They had replaced the true God with idols and called it God. What is an idol? An idol is any noun, person, place, thing, or thought that you look to as your source independently of the true God. A true God is a false person, place, thing, or thought that becomes your point of reference. And that is called an idol in the Bible. The greatest sin in all the Bible is idolatry, because what you've done is remove God's exclusivity clause. No competitors allowed. When we adopt idols, and they can be sophisticated, they can be technology, money, people, relationships, they can be religion, all of those can be idols. Your career can be your idol. Your education and your degrees can be an idol. Whenever that thing is placed alongside of or in front of the God who has revealed himself, it will be rejected by him. A distance will happen from him, and it will open up a hole for wrong things to enter into that space. You see, we like to use the name God. But if you're going to use his name, the information you give must be correct about him. You can't make up stuff, call it God, and think he's okay with it just because you have the right nomenclature. We're living in a day when God has been put on the loop, like those highways that go around a city. We want God close enough to be respectable, far enough not to be bothered with. We want to be able to reference him on Sunday, but we don't need his information, direction, decrees on Monday. We want to say we believe in him, but we're not dictated to by him. And so we don't wind up with the true God, even when we're praying, singing songs, and going to church. We often wind up doing it for an idol that we use the name God for. He said there was no true God. There was no real God. He had been replaced by false gods. But why? Why was there no true God? Well, verse 3 says, because there was a second problem. There was a void of teaching priests. He says there were no teaching priests. You see, a mist in the pulpit is going to be a fog in the pew. When the pulpits fail and the pew becomes confused because of the pulpits failing, then the culture is not going to be led in the right direction. The problem is the failure of the church. Our churches have failed with thus saith the Lord. We've placated ourselves to the culture and dumbed down the deity by ignoring his word. We're not teaching what God says. We're teaching what we think. We're teaching people what feels good for them and to them. We're teaching what is preferred and what is popular. What we're not teaching is how God thinks and what God says and how God feels on every subject. You see, there are two answers to every question. God's answer and everybody else's. And everybody else is wrong. God has spoken and he has not stuttered. He's done that in his word, his inerrant, errorless book, to speak to all issues for all of life. And he's wrong about none of them. He wants to, yes, tell you how to live your personal life. Yes, He wants to define your sexuality for you, not have you define it for yourself. Yes. He wants to define marriage and what it should be and what it should not be. Yes. He wants to define what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman, what it means to be parents, how children should respond to their parents. Yes. He wants to define that. He wants to define how religion is supposed to work, how church is supposed to operate, and how governments are supposed to fare and operate for the citizenry. He wants to define all of that, especially since he says, I created governments. So when you go out and you create your own rules about any of those subjects or any other subject you come up with, you have insulted him. And when the pulpits fail to do that, when the pulpits are giving people votes on what God has said, like this is a majority rule situation when it comes to what he has spoken about, then there are no teaching priests. And we're not conforming people to God's standard. We're just making them comfortable with their own standards, leading to all kinds of confusions that we've already seen in our lives, in our culture, and now in our calamity. He says, no, there was no teaching priest. No, God wants to speak into the issues of righteousness and justice and how to handle the poor, and equity and economics and how to handle finances and all of that he speaks about. And it's the job of the teaching priest to declare it, to speak it, yes, with love, but with clarity. There should be no uncertain sounds from the pulpit, not when you're speaking on behalf of God. And his word must become this new standard. The old book must become the current standard by which all issues are addressed, by which all people must conform, and by which all systems must be adjusted. No matter how high they go or how low they go, no matter whether they're political or social or economic or entertainment, when we take the true God seriously, and when pastors and preachers and leaders take what he says seriously and stop kowtowing to the culture and start speaking with spiritual authority and Holy Ghost guts so that the people know God has spoken here. And I'm going to conform it from church, and then I'm going to go public with it in society. Yes, letting people know we care, we love them, and we want their best, but the only way I can give you my best is to give it to you with based on what God says. So we live in a world where the truth of God is being watered down, dumbed down. And so it's being camouflaged while we still quote verses or reference God. But the God of the Bible is being lost because we're leaving the Bible out while trying to keep God. You can't do it. God has raised his word above his name. You must take this word seriously. That is, if you want to take solutions seriously. This must mean that the pulpits must preach in such a way that it overrides what people think. It overrides what your mom and daddy taught you. It overrides what your professors have to say. It overrides what the media is trying to promote when it disagrees with him. Now, this is time, this is not a time for sermonettes. This is the time for serious communication of thus saith the Lord, without apology, but with love, with caring, with understanding, and with compassion. So he started off by saying there was no true God. The true God had been replaced by false religion. And that's because there were no teaching priests. I mean, the church is supposed to be more than just sitting on a hill. It's supposed to be influencing the environment. And then it says there was no law. In other words, people had no guidelines to govern their actions. You hear people going around today talking about, well, this is my truth. This is what I think. This is how I feel. This is what I believe. No, you don't get to believe apart from God. You don't have truth that disagrees with God. Because then you call God a liar. And you know how we feel when people call us a liar, don't you? How do you think God feels when folks tell you, you're a liar, because I believe this, God, even though you said that, and I'm going to go by what I believe, not what you said. Well, you just said, God, you're a liar. I know more than you. I'm going to tell you how we're going to do this. It says there was no law. So guess what they wound up with then, and guess what we have now? Chaos. Distress. That God allowed. Not because he's raining down viruses, but because we've dismissed him. And so it's opened the door for viruses and other things that bring about dismay and confusion and conflict. And yes, what he says here is lack of peace. Well, that raises a question, doesn't it? Is there a solution? If God is the cause and thus God is the cure, what's the cure for the cause? Well, verse 4 of 2 Chronicles 15 tells us, it says, but in their distress, they turned to the Lord God of Israel, and they sought him, and he let them find him. Did you see that? Did you hear that? In their distress. Well, that's the same thing that was spoken of in verse 6. God caused their distress. Then it says, in their distress. So let's look at that word distress. God used the distress to create the distress because it was the distress that put them in distress that they wanted to get out of. Let me say it another way. God will let things get as chaotic as they need to get until he gets our undivided attention. Not because he wants to be mean, but he wants our attention. We do that with our children, right? We make things inconvenient until they pay attention. This virus, it's a health crisis. We need to listen to our health leaders. We need to keep, not physical, not social distancing. That's not the best word. It's physical distancing, because we still need to be socially connected, because technology will keep us connected. But we need to keep our space, yes, and we need to be aware of the symptoms and act accordingly. Yes, we must be wise in that. But don't think that that's all you're dealing with or we're dealing with as a society and a world. Now, we're dealing with something much deeper. In their distress, they cried to the Lord. They sought him. You know what God is wanting now? He's wanting a return to him. From your life, with your family, with our churches, and with the government. Yep, even the government, since he created government. He wants a return to him. He doesn't just want us using his name, doing an introductory prayer. No, he wants to set the agenda, call the shots, and have us adjust our plans to what he says should happen. That's what he wants. He wants conformity to his will, submission to his authority, and a relationship with us as his people. They sought the Lord their God. How do you seek him? You pursue a relationship while simultaneously submitting to his authority. Those two things. You pursue a relationship while simultaneously submitting to his rule, his authority, where he has the last word, over your thoughts, over how you were raised. Their distress woke them up. We better get right with God so our distress and lack of peace can be corrected by the God who gave us the distress. And it says he let them find him. You know why? Because that's what he's after all the time. He's after that. He's after this relationship. But we're out of alignment. We're not in alignment with him. And he's letting us know through these things that happen. Yeah, I know that a lot of people will dismiss this because it doesn't look like, okay, it sounds more religious than practical to the virus. No, it is at the core of the issue of the virus. So, I want to challenge you now. I want to challenge you to make knowing him, drawing near to him, connecting with him, your goal. He's given you a direct route, by the way. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of the living God, born of a virgin, lived the perfect life, died a substitutionary death in your place for your sins to give you the gift of eternal life and connect you with the Father. And anybody who comes to Christ for the forgiveness of sins and for the gift of eternal life, he'll grant it to you for free. Don't have to earn it, can't work for it, but he's giving it away. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, you will ignite a relationship with God. And then as you cultivate that relationship, reading his word, reading the book of John, reading Isaiah 40 to understand how he's in control of everything, and using this word to get to know that God through his son, you'll begin to see he can speak peace while we wait on him to solve problems. Well, I'm in the den of my home. Was married to my wife for 49 and a half years. Of course, a few months ago, she went into eternity due to a bout with cancer. But I was reflecting on how we met. When we met, I saw this lovely young lady, but she was not responding at the rate to which I was accustomed. Girlfriend was moving a little slow, so I had to help a sister out. I had to help her out. So I took her to an amusement park in Baltimore, Maryland called the Wild Mouse. Wild Mouse was a roller coaster for two. It did all the roller coaster things, but it did something else. It acted like it was going to jump off the track and then turn real quick. I said, give me two tickets. They gave me two tickets. We got on the Wild Mouse. The wilder the ride got, the closer she got. By the time the ride was over, you thought only one person got on it. See, I created distress because I wanted her to get closer to me. You see, that's what God does. He creates distress because he's after relationship. But he knows as long as you don't have that distress, you're going to stay on your side. He doesn't want you that far from him. God has put us in distress or allowed us to be in distress because he wants us to snuggle up close. Now is the time to run to him, seek him, pursue him, be passionate after him, to come to know his son and through his son come to know him, to get into his word and grow in your commitment to him, and then to submit to whatever he says, whether you feel it or not, because your feelings must be the caboose, not the engine. And then let's watch him deal with the problems because he's had the ability to draw near to us and change us. May God bless you as you pursue him and as our culture learns that the God who causes the distress also alleviates the distress when we return to him.
I don't know about you, but that was a much needed message, was it not?
Yeah.
That was big time. When you talk about divine disruptions like we're experiencing right now, it was just awesome to hear what my dad had to say. And we're going to have a conversation about that a little bit later on here in the service. But first, we want to take time to give to the Lord. Yeah. Giving to the Lord is an act of worship. It's not that he needs money from us, but he needs faith from us. And this gives us an opportunity to display that faith, because wherever your treasure is, that's really where your heart is. And so we want to be able to show that today, and we want to give. If you're a member of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, you know exactly how to do that. You can go on our website, you can go on the app and do that, but we also have a way for you to give this morning by texting. So whether you're a member or you're not a member, if you would like to use that, it's an easy way to give. You can text OCBF to 797979. You can text OCBF to 797979 because it is an act of worship to be able to give to God. But we also know there is a group that wants to put it in the mail, and I'm not hating on you. Go ahead and walk out to your mailbox and put it in the mail, and you can mail to OCBF at 1808 West Camp Wisdom Road. 1808 West Camp Wisdom Road, Dallas, Texas, 75232. That should be on your screen so that you can see that, because we want to give. The Bible says it's better to give than it is to receive in the book of Acts, verse 20:35. That's because God has something that he actually wants to give to you, but he can't give it to you if your hands are full of things that you're hoarding for yourself. And in this season, people are hoarding. People are going to the stores, as you know, and they're grabbing things off of the shelf, and they're leaving nothing for anyone else. But a lot of times what we don't realize when it comes to giving is we're leaving nothing for ourselves. Because if our hands are full, then they're not empty to receive what God wants to place in them. So it is an act of worship. And we want to take this time while we go towards announcements to continue to give. So you do that right now.
And you know what? I was thinking when you were talking, Jonathan, I think, Crystal, that it was one of your friends many years ago when you guys were in college that said to you that she never goes to a church service. At the time, there wasn't online church services when you were in college. But do you remember she said... Do you remember she said that she never goes to a church service, even if it's not her local church, she never goes to a service where she does not sow a seed into that ministry because God's used that ministry to be a blessing in her life. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. Her thought was that wherever she went to worship, that if she was fed, that it was an offering to God in thanksgiving for feeding her the word and giving her encouragement. Yeah, I never forgot that. It's true. Yeah,
I've never forgotten it either. So even when I'm watching online a ministry or listening to a ministry, or, you know, I just am always thoughtful, how can I sow a seed into good soil? Because everybody ain't got good soil, you know? So it's a privilege to be at a church where it's good soil and the seed's gonna have reap a good harvest. So I'm excited about that.
One of the reasons, of course, why we give to our local church is because the local churches all over the world right now, and have, not just right now, but in times past and in times to come, are serving their communities in a way that only the local church can do, because they know the community in which they live and in which they move. And our church right now, we're so excited to tell you, is still doing work. We are being really intentional about reaching out to our elderly and our sick. Also being really intentional about giving donations to local schools who are trying to feed kids in our community. So just hearing about some of the things that our church is figuring out how to do, because, you know, everybody's figuring it out. How can we serve? And so while as a church we want to encourage you, OCBF, to not only be the hands and feet of Jesus and the light to people who don't know Jesus, as we move throughout this circumstance, we want to encourage you to remember your fellow church members. You, in that OCBF app, you have a list of who's sick. And so if you know who they are, you can reach out, because sometimes that's the only way we know, is that we see in that app who's been sick. So now is a great time. I've personally texted a few women who I know who are alone, who are widowed, just to say, hey, I'm thinking about you. Do you have everything you need? And while their reply was that they actually have everything they need, what they said was, but it was so good to know you thought about me. I think we underestimate how important it is just to let somebody know you're thinking about them. So whether you're at our church and you're reaching out to people in your small group or in your ministry, now's the time to send that text, to make the phone call, to DM them on Facebook or Instagram, and to let them know that they're on your mind. So not only can our church continue to work for our elderly and our sick and reaching our kids, but you can as an individual too. If you're a member of OCBF, we want to remind you to participate in our OCBF prayer line. Before this service aired and after it's finished airing, there will be a slide with a phone number. So if you want to join a prayer call that our church has every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Central, you can get that information by rewinding to the beginning or staying until the end. And in addition to that, I just want you to know that our leaders at our church are praying for you. They're praying for the members of Oak Cliff. They're praying for our sick and shut in. They're praying for our nation. They're praying for our leaders. They're praying for other churches. And so even while the church house is empty today, you are not forgotten. And so many of the people who need our prayers are not being forgotten. The church has not stopped doing the work of God. And because even though we've been divinely disrupted with how we worship, we still have got to get to work. But I've been thinking about this passage, you know, just knowing what Dad was talking about from 2 Chronicles chapter 15 through 6, and thinking about how this divine disruption applies to me. There's a neighbor next door to me that he's very, very quiet. And I went over to him and just left a note on the door with my cell phone number and said, hey, like, this disruption has made me realize that I've never asked you how I can serve you. And so I just left him a note and just said, I'm your next door neighbor, and he doesn't come out much. But I've been asking myself, how does this divine, this, yeah, sorry.
Divine disruption. I can't talk. Divine disruption. How is this making me see how I need to change? How is this disruption changing you? How is this disruption affecting you? As we think about this passage, what does it bring to mind?
Well, I think it makes you prop your head up to look. You know, in a divine disruption, when there is a disruption, it calls your attention because it's something that's out of the norm. And I remember with my kids, every now and then I have to put a divine disruption on them because, you know, left to themselves, they're doing their own thing. And when I want to call their attention, when I want to call my kids' attention, a lot of times I'll shut the lights off. I'll turn the lights off because once I turn the lights off, their vision is no longer relevant. Their vision no longer helps them. And all of the heads are like ostriches all of a sudden. Everybody props up and they start looking to see what just happened because the lights just turned off. And a lot of times God will turn off the lights so that you prop your head up to look for guidance to the one who can actually see. And that's God, that's the Father. They were looking for me to lead them because the lights were turned off. So divine disruptions make us look. It makes you put a sign on your neighbor's door. It makes us look to in ourselves to think, am I even serving? What have I done? Have I spent time with my family? Am I leading my family at the table? Am I having devotions? Am I on my phone more than I am with my kid? I mean, it just makes you prop your head up and it makes you look.
Yeah, I think a couple, every day there's something different in my head that as it relates to this whole thing we've been going on, I've been going through, but two things. One thing is going along with what Crystal mentioned. Our dad was traveling, and one of his trips was recently was to Vegas, and he had to reschedule that and all that stuff and get back here. And I thought about just him being there, and I thought about the Hoover Dam. As weird as that is, that's where it is, and that thing is huge, and it creates a huge block. Like there's a bunch of water on one side of it, and on the other side it's just vast, and that blockage of that body of water creates a redirection, and that redirection creates power that powers Arizona, Nevada, California. Like millions of people receive power because of that blockage that dam has created. And I'm looking at our lives right now, there is a blockage in it, but that blockage redirected will create power that's not only for us, but it will millions. Like there's that blockage has created us being able to be with you, and I'm sure we got letters from Australia or notes from people we weren't normally speaking to. That's one thought. And then the other thought, this happened just now. This is the first day in probably my whole probably most of my life where I walked into my family and did not hug them. I could not embrace my family because of the social distance. We're doing like a foot. We're going to give you a foot of social distance. That's as far as we can get away from each other. But I thought it actually hurt my heart to not be able to embrace my family because that's what we do. That is what we do. And I thought about the fact that if there was a resolve for the enemy that is keeping me from embracing my siblings, I would be, if we had a cure for corona right now, there'd be people in the streets throwing parties because our lives could get back to normal. And I thought about the fact that Jesus gave us a vaccine that allows us to get close to God, where we don't have to feel the sadness of being away from him, being far from him. He has given us that. And it is my job, because I feel distant from my family. It is God, Jesus created a way for us not to feel distant from God ever. He can embrace us, we can embrace him. And we need to be celebrating that the same way we would celebrate if we saw on the news right now that this corona thing was handled.
Give me a high five without touching.
Right.
That's an amazing lead in to Jonathan, there are so many people who there is a huge gap that exists between them and God, and they do not know how to bridge this gap. They've maybe sought to fill up an emptiness so many different ways, and somehow today the Lord has led them to this stream, and maybe they have literally never set foot in a church building, but they're watching today and they just heard Anthony describe the distance that now exists because of this virus and how Jesus, he put it to death, this gap that exists between us and God. He put it to death. He figured out a way for us to not have distance. And for the person, even if there's just one that is watching, and this divine disruption has torn them up in so many ways, and they're looking for some inner peace, something, a relationship with the Lord, could you give them direction on how they can do that?
Yeah, I would say it's all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ came and he lived a perfect life to satisfy God. The Bible says he is the propitiation of our sins. That means he satisfied God's holy standard. If you were to ask what God's standard is, I would tell you the Bible says it's absolute perfection. God is not going to lower his standard down to your level. He wants you to rise to meet his standard at his level. And because none of us can do that, we're called to place faith in the one who has already done that. His name is Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life so that we can be reconciled to God. It's the ministry of reconciliation and forgiveness that we are brought back into fellowship with him, because now we are perfect as he is perfect, because Jesus has credited his perfect life to your imperfect account. So now you have an 800 credit score, even though you've lived a 500 credit score life. That may disqualify you here on earth, but Jesus has made a way for you to be acceptable to the great moneylender of all time, God the Father and Jesus Christ. And then he died. He died to let you know that death no longer has a stronghold, that death has lost its sting. He acquired the consequence of sin. He's taking that consequence upon himself, even though he himself did nothing to deserve it. So he paid that debt and he rose to let you know that that consequence is something that you will never have to experience if you place faith in me. I am the way, he says in John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. You can try as hard as you can. You can try to do the right things. You can try to do good things to people. But if you do not have the seed, which is Jesus Christ, then it may look like fruit, but it's fruit that's genetically modified because it doesn't have a seed. I don't know if you've ever had watermelon without seeds, but that is a genetically modified version of the real thing, because fruit always have a seed. And if it's real fruit, that means that you accept the seed of Jesus Christ so that you're not a genetically modified version, but you're actually the real thing and can be reconciled to God. So I want to lead you right now in a prayer of acceptance and placing faith in Jesus Christ so that you can have the seed and be the real thing and be acceptable to God. Repeat after me if you've never placed faith in Jesus Christ on your own. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I'm in need of a Savior. Lord, today I believe that you are my Savior. I believe that this divine disruption has led me to you. And I'm asking, Lord, that you will save me. I'm placing my faith in your hands right now. I believe that you satisfied God. I believe that you died on the cross. And I believe that you rose from the dead. For me, save me, Lord, and help me to live now based on what I've already been given. Thank you for reconciling me to God. I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so excited because I believe somebody accepted Jesus Christ. Somewhere in the world, somewhere. Somebody accepted Jesus Christ and placed faith in him. That's awesome.
And if you did, please leave a comment or leave a response. Let's let people celebrate the choice that you've made and then get planted in a local church so that you can grow in your relationship with the Lord. I think it's time, right? There's no better way to close service than by celebrating all that our God has done for us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So let's see, Jonathan, you're going to come stand right here in the center of us.
Let's switch it up.
And if you have communion ready for your family, if you didn't, you still have a couple seconds here, run in and just grab some crackers or some juice of some sort, and let's be led together as the global body of Christ, all together as we celebrate on the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus and what it means for our victory every single day.
This is about remembering the sacrifice that we just talked about. You have bread and you have some juice or some water, whatever you have in your home. But the bread, as Luke chapter 22 talks about, when Jesus was reclining with his disciples, his apostles, like you're reclining as a disciple of Jesus Christ right now, that he took the bread and he said, "This is my body that has been broken for you." And I want you to eat this in remembrance of me, that I am broken so that you can be whole. You may feel broken right now, but you're whole because by his stripes, you are healed. Let's eat together. Appreciate it, Sella. This is the blood. I'm excited about the blood of Jesus Christ because in the blood we have life. Right now there's a need for blood in our country. There's a shortage because they need people to give more blood. I'm so glad that with this new covenant and the shedding of the blood, that there is not a shortage. That anyone who comes to him will be covered with the newness of life. And we want to remember that today. So will you drink with me? Heavenly Father, we love you, we honor you. We are excited to be able to commune with you. Thank you for today. Thank you for Sunday. Thank you for the ability to commune with you, to be together as family and friends wherever we are, our online community, and help us to live every day and use today as a symbol of how it should look, worshiping your holy name. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week. Love you guys.